Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide.
Today's scripture is taken from Job chapter 1, verse 21, which talks about after Job learned that all his animals and all his goods, his fields, had been destroyed, and he was basically left with nothing. And of course, this is his response. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Here's a man who lost everything in a day's time. All his wealth was gone. He had total destruction around him. He lost a lot of his friends. He lost a lot of people that worked for him, who he loved and cared for. And yet Job realized that his life was in God's hands, and he realized that God had allowed this to happen. And so Job was able then to realize that this was for some purpose in his own life. And because of that, he wasn't bitter. He accepted it, and he was able to say that naked he came out of the womb, and naked he's going to return back to God. The Lord is the one who gave him prosperity, and the Lord is the one that took it. But in spite of that, he was going to have faith. He's going to trust the Lord for the outcome, and he was going to continue to do the best he could in the circumstance with which he found himself. And so many times in our own life, difficult things happen to us, and things that were very unexpected. But we have to realize that God is in charge of our lives as well. And those things have come for some purpose in our life. And because of that, we can persevere through, and we can continue to live by faith and trust him. And eventually God will give us the blessing, and he'll give us the increase, and he'll meet our needs according to the riches that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious, precious name, oh how sweet, how sweet. Hope of
hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their desideratos share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A special message from David and Jean Foster Ministry in Europe. Two of our European missionaries are retired from their church ministry and now serve the Lord through discipleship and encouragement. They shared the following stories with us. One time recently, when we were walking through a London shopping mall, a Caribbean lady called out, "Pastor David." She said that we might not remember her, but that she attended our church Christian Center over 17 years ago, but she eventually moved to North London. She said that I had preached a message one Sunday that had ended up changing her life. She had oftentimes wondered what negative course her life might have taken had she not heard and responded to that message. Another time recently at Royal London Hospital, one of the grandsons, who was about 19 years old, of the Asian lady we were visiting, came up to us and said that we might not recognize him now since we had not seen him for quite a few years. His grandmother, whom we had had the privilege of leading to Jesus Christ from her Sikh religious and cultural background, used to bring him to our church, Christian Center, on many occasions when he was a young boy. He said that a very vivid memory that he still has to this day, which he said still impacts his life as if it had just happened yesterday, was the memory of the Christmas meals that he had attended with hundreds of other people and lots of other children running around everywhere and eating all that he could ever want, even seconds, thirds, and fourths. He said that it was such a wonderful and joyous occasion that took place at the Christian Center, which he still often thinks about. We know that what this grandson, whose family are still all Sikhs, was sensing at those events at our church was the unconditional love and grace of God's people and the Spirit of the Lord that was at work in that place, through the lives of believers in Christ. Still another time, during a recent walk while we were in London, an Asian young lady whom we somewhat recognized came out of her house and exclaimed, "Pastor," she said that nearly 23 years ago that I had preached a message at our church during the Tamil-speaking church service, which had been translated by the Tamil-speaking pastor, that had totally changed the direction of her life to this day. She said that she oftentimes thinks about us and about how her life had so dramatically changed. Of course, it was the power of the Holy Spirit working through the declaration of the truth of God's word that had changed her life. The Lord, no doubt, allows these occasional and unexpected experiences to bolster our faith and encourage us in our daily service for Him, knowing that we must do so by faith, being certain of what we do not see. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the love of God. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages. They are building genuine relationships and meeting needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This March, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word makrothumia, pronounced makroth, umei, ah, means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in our dealing with other people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from the negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruins what would otherwise be wonderful and maybe even brilliant personalities. But this fruit takes time to mature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R707, or in the United States Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is a part of a series on replacement theology, which is a theology that the modern church is using to negate the Abrahamic promise and the nation Israel. I'm sure that you will enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
The last time we were together, we began a series on replacement theology, a view that is sweeping across the globe today. This position holds that God has no future plans for the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. When they rejected Jesus as their Messiah, God's plan for them was completed. The promises God made in the Scriptures concerning the future of that nation and people has been transferred to the church. Today, we will search the Scriptures to discern what the Bible has to say about it. To begin our study, we turn to Ezekiel 28, verses 25 and 26, where God makes some very clear promises to the nation of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, "When I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. And they will dwell safely, build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgment on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God." In these two verses, we have a summary of what God is going to do for the nation of Israel in the future. First, it becomes very evident that they will be living in what we know as Israel today. For God says it will be their own land, which he gave to Jacob. Next, we see that they will be gathered from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. They will dwell in peace and safety while God judges the surrounding nations for what they have done to his people. Finally, this takes place when they as a nation will turn to the Lord. That only happens at the return of Christ to the earth, at the time Zechariah the prophet spoke of in chapter 12, verse 10 of his book, where writing about the Jewish people of the future says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for firstborn." There is no way in the world that anyone can claim that this promise has anything to do with the church. It is all clearly about the future of Israel. From here we move on over to chapter 34 of Ezekiel, where because the narrative is so extensive, we will select only key verses to help prove our point. In this chapter, the Lord builds his argument around the sheep and their shepherds. He charges the shepherds or leaders of Israel with leading the sheep astray from the Lord. They did it for their own gain, causing the sheep to go away from God. Because of this, the Jewish people became prey to the Gentile nations and were scattered abroad. Then in verse 10, the Lord says he will take over as the true shepherd of the flock. When he does it, the sheep will no longer be prey for the nations, and he will feed them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish my shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. That's Ezekiel 34, 11 to 13, verses 22 to 24, and verses 38 to 41. There are several very important things that stand out in these verses. The first thing is that the Lord called Israel his flock. Then we note that he will bring the scattered sheep back to the land of Israel. Since this book was written several hundred years after the demise of David, he could only rule over Israel after his resurrection. That will take place at the second coming of Christ. They will dwell safely in the land of Israel, and they as a nation will have turned back to the Lord. As we consider these things, there's no way this can be transferred to the church. For one thing, God has never promised the church any land. The church has never been scattered across the earth as the Jewish people have. Here is a picture of the Jewish people turning to the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, just as predicted by Zechariah 12:10. It has nothing to do with the church. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord told Israel that when he scattered them among the nations of the world, they profaned his holy name. He goes on to state that the reason he will bring them back home to their land is because it is for his name's sake. He made a covenant back in Genesis that promised Israel a land forever, and he plans to keep that promise in spite of what they have done. Beginning in Ezekiel 36, verse 24, we read, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take this heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. Not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities and in the ruins, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they shall say, this land that was desolate has become as the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as a holy sacrifice, like the flock of Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with the flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. What we have read here is a very clear promise to the children of Israel. God will gather them from all the nations of the world to bring them back to the land he promised their forefathers. The remnant of Jewish people will finally turn to the Lord, and he will bless them because he is a God who keeps his word. Would you agree with me that this is a very clear promise made so long ago? In no way is there anything of this portion of Scripture about the church, nor is the land promised to a spiritual Israel. It is returned to the people God originally intended to possess it, the Israelites or the Jewish people. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel makes the future return and possession of the land of Israel by the Jewish people even more clear. We learn about this from two separate sections in the chapter. In the first half of the chapter, we have the vision of Ezekiel in a valley full of dry bones. Twice he is told to prophesy over these dry bones. As a final result, the bodies that are formed on the bones are resurrected and are alive. He is told that by the Lord God, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. That's Ezekiel 37:11-14. In this first section, we find one of the greatest prophecies declaring that God will not only bring the Jewish people back to their ancient homeland once again, but that he will just put his spirit within them so they will live and so they will live the way the Lord always wanted them to since the beginning of days and since the beginning of time, since the beginning with Abraham. Again, there is no possibility of putting the church in here to replace the promises given to the Jewish people. In the last half of Ezekiel 37, the prophet is told by the Lord to take two sticks in his hand and write on them. One represents the kingdom of Judah and the other the kingdom of Ephraim or Israel. Here's an illustrative picture of the division in the land of Israel into two kingdoms after the reign of Solomon. The people to whom the book of Ezekiel was written would clearly understand this symbolism. These sticks would become one in the Lord's hand. We pick up the narrative in verse 20. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall all also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them.
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in Him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of His love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R787, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.